Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin Cowherd. Hey, music, you know what we need to do tomorrow? We need to get our fire up our picks. Week zero college football. Right? Yeah, no Blazing Five tomorrow. It's going to be Gottlieb. I'll give you my own Blazing Five. I'll win you some money. Week zero. No. That was week zero. But we won that game. It was week zero. Doesn't zero sound a lot more negative than it actually is? Doesn't it? Isn't that interesting? Right? Super interesting. Sounds, it's like the word mediocre. Mediocre is not a negative word, but it does sound like a negative word. Right? It does. Mediocre means average. Average is in the middle. It's not bad. It's not great. It's mediocre. But somehow the word mediocre feels negative coming out. When I say week zero, you're like, ugh, ew. What the hell is week zero? We're a couple weeks off the NFL kicking off. How good is it going to be to have the NFL back, right? Like, just kind of ask yourself, like, in the return to normalcy, we're going to have the Cowboys and Buccaneers 2 weeks from tonight. Did you realize that? Like, what? Yeah. 2 weeks from tonight. Cowboys, Buccaneers. That's pretty awesome. But I saw this with the Patriots. I thought it was, I think the whole thing's kind of fascinating to watch. You know, there are people that just give away jobs. They just do. Whether it's, a lot of times it's the little things that lead to the big things. You know, the little things that lead to the big things. If you ask NFL coaches, college coaches, you know, for running backs, it's not as much a part. It's not, we all think that running backs is about how many yards they gain, and it is. But in order to get on the field and stay on the field, you got to be able to pass protect. You got to know where you're supposed to be, right? If you don't get the football, you have to run your fakes all out. Like all of these other little things that we don't track for when they're little kids, those are the things that get you on the field and keep you on the field. No quarterback wants a running back that can't pass protect. There are times in which guys miss assignments and give away their job. I feel like Cam Newton's giving away this job in New England, you know? And it's interesting because so many of the things that he has said, so many of the things that he has done are the right things. I mean, look, Cam after the Super Bowl was a disaster. And anybody who says otherwise is just kidding themselves because you like Cam Newton. They're down 6 points, fumbles the football. He doesn't dive on it because he was concerned about his legs, which is a very reasonable concern in a preseason game. In the Super Bowl, get on the ground and get the ball. Get on the ground and get the ball. And it wasn't just that answer. It was, you know, the pushback against the media, and then he went back to Carolina and they interviewed him, and it was the same kind of level of confidence that really felt like arrogance more than anything else. But, you know, since that time, Cam, if you look at New England, Cam said so many of the right things. Signs the minimum contract last year, signs a backup contract this year. It hasn't been about greed. It hasn't been about money. I don't care what his YouTube videos said last year. He didn't throw it particularly well. I'll give you the Seattle game. He played exceedingly well. I'll admit they did not have very good talent, but dude didn't throw for 100 yards in what was it, like 4 games, 100 in 2021. So there's some limitations there. No matter how much better he's playing, no matter how much better he's controlling the offense and how invested it feels like he is emotionally, bro, you're not going to get vaccinated. Then you're going to leave town, which puts you in the, you know, it puts you in the system. This doesn't even matter if you test a positive. None of this matters. And you can say, like, I didn't know. Of course you knew. You knew the second that you made the decision to not get vaccinated that the protocols were going to be ridiculous. That's what they did. They basically made it so ridiculous and so over the top that without forcing you, they want to force you to get vaccinated. Because at the time, the FDA had not approved the Pfizer one that they approved. So like, look, we can't force you, but this is what we're going to do. We're basically going to force you. And if you want to go through hoops, fine. You can't leave town. You know, you got to social distance yourself. Like, it's going to be really difficult to do. And what's amazing is for Cam to be a guy who had COVID last year. He had it. And I know that anybody who had COVID, if you take the vax, you know, it's a little bit more difficult on you. You feel a little bit more. But, dude, what are you doing? This is your job. This is your life. This has been your life for your entire professional career. Like, Cam Newton, did he want to be bigger than being just a football star? Yes. Did he truly transcend all sports and lifestyle? Yeah. Probably not. Some of that's just the nature of where he played in Carolina, the uneven success. It's still football. You know, you're still behind that. It takes Tom Brady has broken through and become a breakthrough superstar. But remember, Tom Brady's been to how many Super Bowls? Right? And Brady wasn't this level of star in the early Super Bowl days. He wasn't. Matter of fact, I said this early in the week. Forgive me, Ryan Music, if you haven't heard it. Jay Stu, also working on my show, works on this one. The 180 that Tom Brady's personality has done and the likability of Tom Brady, the only parallel I can see is cauliflower. I'm not cauliflower, excuse me. Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts. Do you remember Brussels sprouts as a kid? Right? Brussels sprouts were the meal that your mom would make or you're at somebody else. Can you remember you go to somebody else's house? Like, would you like to stay for dinner? Like, yeah, I'll stay for dinner. Cool. We're having Brussels sprouts. Like, what? I don't have Brussels sprouts. And I'm like, hey, man, does your mom have like a digestive problem? Like, no, my mom doesn't have gas. She's making Brussels sprouts. They used to be steamed. You steam Brussels sprouts. It smells like flatulence in your house. It's disgusting. And they taste terrible. Somewhere, somebody figured out, I don't know, it was Emeril Lagasse or you picked the famous. Somebody's like, hey, what if we like baked these things or flash fried these things, threw a little bacon in there, salt, pepper, balsamic vinegar glaze. Now, like Brussels sprouts are not only on the menu as an appetizer, but they're kind of awesome. Tom Brady was despised for 15, 16 years with the Patriots. He was arrogant. They were cheaters. I hate him. We hate everything. Now all of a sudden, like he got a little swag to him. Talks a little trash. He's got the Benjamin Button thing going. He gets white boy wasted at the victory parade. They're like, I kind of like Tom Brady. Yeah, I've been that drunk before. Just in that happy, feel-good state. Sure. Talking a little trash on other teams that passed on him. I like this new Tom Brady. But Tom Brady has done the Brussels sprouts 180. You know, 15 years ago, you hated Tom Brady and you hated Brussels sprouts. Now you're like, you know, I might go to a sports bar, order some Brussels sprouts, and watch the Buccaneers play. Cam was always pretty likable, has become even more likable. But he's mismanaged this COVID thing. And he's offered up the opportunity of a lifetime. And the opportunity there for Mac Jones, who probably would have won this job eventually. But when you're not there, somebody else will be. Like we all, this is the famous Jay Leno. Like, why did Jay Leno never take time off? Because he was worried about being Wally Pipped. You know, worried about being Wally Pipped. Some people are just confident enough to where, like, hey, if I'm not there, it's no big deal. You know, have somebody Johnny Carson would have guys fill in. Jay Leno's like, nah, man, I ain't letting anybody fill in. I'm not taking any days off. That's kind of how you have to be as a quarterback. It's one of the things that these teams struggle with, the older quarterbacks. The older quarterbacks want to take every rep, and yet their arm needs a little bit of a rest. You know? Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, famously at training camps, they wouldn't take reps off. They didn't like it when you drafted quarterbacks. Like any of this stuff, like Aaron Rodgers, this is nothing new. Not telling a quarterback that you're drafting a quarterback and then the quarterback getting mad. They all get mad because they're all protective of their turf. They don't want the other guy to take reps. They don't want the other guy to play. They don't want any sense of that other guy operating with the number one offense. That's my offense. And yet here Cam Newton, and you can say it's out of his control, but it's not. It's well within his control. And now he's offered up an opportunity of a lifetime for Mac Jones. And though he wasn't as good today, apparently yesterday, he was amazing. And once you look amazing with the ones, it's a really hard, indelible image to get out of your mind if you're a coach or if you're another player. Because remember, those guys, while they've seen Cam all preseason, they saw Cam last year, it's still in their mind like Auburn Cam, Carolina Cam. Like he's still a godlike figure. He's still Cameron freaking Newton. But the old acronym for the NFL is not for long. And you give a young guy an opportunity and he kills it, and you become yesterday's news. Really, really fascinating stuff. Sage Rosenfeld's played 12 years at quarterback in the NFL. He's done the preseason battles thing. We'll get his thoughts on the battles for QB1. That's upcoming next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb and Fort Collin, this is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening to us. We appreciate you. By the way, got a new podcast out, All Ball. You'll really like this one. But you go through the All Balls, and Todd Ramasar was my guest last week, a guy who... grew up in Norco, California, was a walk-on at UCLA, became a starter, and now kind of a super agent in the NBA, his journey. Andrew Shalop is my guest this week, a guy who never played college basketball, well, never played Division I college basketball, played JUCO basketball, kind of a street ball legend in New York who became a professional basketball player overseas, and now he evaluates guys, has his own pod. So it's called All Ball with Doug Gottlieb. You'll love it. We get couple hundred thousand downloads every episode. It's really more storytelling about guys in sports. Sage Rosenfeld joins us. Of course, Iowa State guy, back when Iowa State was bad, right? Well, you guys were bad when you were Iowa State, right? There was a run there where they were pretty good, but you guys were like, it's got to be weird to watch your alma mater and now legit contender to win the Big 12 and compete nationally. It's great to anyone who's watched the Big 12, to have that consistently, Matt Campbell, what he's done is nothing short of remarkable.
Well, first, I need to go back to 1996 through 2000 and give you a heads up. I promise you, we've worked harder than any team in the Big 12 Conference, even though we were usually one of the worst, until about year four, where we actually went 4-7, we were competitive. But my last year, my senior year, 2000, yeah. We went 9-3, went to a bowl game, won our first ever bowl game down there. It was the Insight.com Bowl in Arizona. It was a great experience. And then that sort of, I think, propelled to slowly some ups and downs. Now where Iowa State is with Matt Campbell, he's done an unbelievable job. Winning the Fiesta Bowl last year, really just a few plays away from being Oklahoma and winning the Big 12 championship and just being right there, being Oklahoma early in the year, obviously. And they have a whole bunch of super seniors coming back for a sixth year because they just love playing for Matt Campbell so much. A couple of guys I know will probably be drafted in the sixth or seventh round, but said, you know what, let's come back. Maybe guys even better than that were underclassmen that came back that could have been maybe third or fourth rounders. They've got a really good football team. He's a great head coach. I know some NFL teams offered him a ton of money, and he turned it down. So it's a really interesting situation over Iowa State, and in particular – we're one of those teams stuck in the middle with this whole realignment thing. So it's a great time to be a Cyclone, but yet we're a little concerned about what the far future holds, and we're just going to enjoy this season in 2021.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is the Herd. Sage, these position battles. Let's start with I was talking about Cam Newton, and look, he was a great player. He's not that same guy, not just through shoulder surgeries and injuries, but also age and just taking a beating based upon the way he played football. What do you think missing in-person stuff for a couple of days in the midst of a quarterback battle does, does for his job, for his ability to be QB1?
Well, it doesn't really help. But, you know, when you look back here in, you know, 2 months from now or 3 months from now, if New England's in the mix, we're not going to really talk about this, you know, 1 week period in the preseason where it really didn't count. I think Bill Belichick knows what he has in Cam. And, you know, he's been a consistently good NFL quarterback with a couple really, really good seasons, even a great season. But one of those things that he did really well was he had that element. Let's not even talk about the throwing part, but having that element where he could score touchdowns, get first downs, sort of be the extra runner, and he was such a good runner that it just sort of added so much other value to him as a quarterback, not just the passer. Well, last year, Belichick, you know, he rushed for 12 touchdowns last year. He hadn't rushed for that many since his rookie year, and I think Belichick knows how to use him. All right, Belichick also knows how to go, you know what, we have a veteran who's really good, who's had some great seasons, even been to a Super Bowl, and let's bench him and put in this young guy that I really have a gut feeling about. We saw that with Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe a long, long time ago. And the question is, I think he will know what the right mix is. Is it, you know, Cam starting it off because he's a veteran? Does he feel like Mac Jones has it right off the bat? Does he at some point just sort of mix the two up and it becomes maybe a Mac Jones show end of the season, but, you know, we use Cam in certain situations because he still can be an effective runner as an, you know, older quarterback if he's in a more limited role, I would think. So I think, you know, Belichick's going to have an interesting, the way he plays it, my guess is it might be a little bit sort of untraditional and at some point even a little bit of a mix because he'll want to see both those guys. Try to help him win that football game. You know, Bill's about winning the next game. He's not always overly so concerned about the politics of everything. He wants to win the next game. And if I feel like one of the other quarterbacks gives them a chance, he's going to go, you know, switch it, in 2 seconds.
But what about the locker room? Like, how important? Like, players know, guys know, right? They just do. You can't fool players. They know who's better. They know who's ready. But when you have a guy that commands so much respect because of what he's done in the league, how much does that change the calculation?
One, I think, you know, Patriots players, most NFL players just want to win. They do. They just want to win. And you think, I've seen a lot of quarterbacks. So it's like, man, they look pretty good in practice. Maybe even a third or fourth string guy. And then you go out in those actual games, even preseason games, you know, their footwork instead of, falls apart, you know, when the real stuff is flying. We have not seen that out of Mac Jones. We have not seen teams with super complicated blitz packages, which is just a lot for a young team to handle. You don't really do too much of that in the preseason. So, you know, he has done well. Instead we know what Cam is, and we'll just have to see. I sort of think it's gonna be Cam's job to start. You know, I think that's the situation. It should be Cam's job to start. It is a lot for a young quarterback to come in and try to win football games unless you just have an awesome Peyton Manning, great, you know, Hall of Fame player right off the bat, Andrew Luck, or it's a guy that's going to take some time to learn. And I just believe even Tom Brady, I think it really helped having a full year or so before he really had to go in there and play in that second season. And even him at the time was extremely young.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is the Herd. Okay. Garoppolo is in a different situation. Last time he played at the end of a season, they were in a Super Bowl, but they move mountains and they trade for a Trey Lance. It feels like Garoppolo is going to start. How long a leash do you think he has in San Fran?
I think that all depends on how well the rookie is progressing. And, you know, we don't see that as media people. We see some preseason games and maybe a highlight here or there, you know, on our Twitter or something. But we don't know every day what Trey Lance is doing. We don't know how much he's learning. We don't know how much he actually knows, how comfortable Kyle feels with him. really running the show. I think they know that Jimmy can win them football games. They were, you know, a couple pass plays away from winning a Super Bowl with him just a couple years ago. You know, his skills haven't significantly diminished. They know what they've got. They've got a veteran team, right? They've got a team that has a lot of really good players, and they are ready to win now. They're going to have a good defense again if people stay healthy. They're going to have that running game. And they want a guy who really understands how to, you know, execute this offense. And it's a lot. I was in Kyle's offense back in, you know, 2006, 7, 8 with Kubiak in Houston. And there just is a lot to learn in these West Coast offenses. A lot of verbiage. And Kyle loves to have two plays, even three plays at the line of scrimmage. There's some complexity there that is just not an easy thing being on the team for 6 months. And my guess is that he's going to would go with Jimmy. And, you know, if he feels like Trey's ready, put Trey in. He also could, you know, again, sort of like what New England's doing, maybe there's certain packages that he wants more of the guy that has the running ability. And I know for a fact, you know, sort of through their coaching staff, they've sort of missed having a guy who can hurt a defense with his legs, right? They go against Russell Wilson all the time. They know how hard that is to have to defend. They see these quarterbacks around the league who can both throw and run. And I think there might be some early packages where Trey Lance is, you know, a little more runner. Those are third downs and ones. Those are in the red zone. Those are at the goal line. You know, those types of situations where it helps to have a running quarterback, I can see Trey Lance being the ball game even early in the season.
Big year for Daniel Jones. He cut down the turnovers last year, which is a good thing. I mean, a needed thing. We assume we'll have Saquon Barkley back. I think the question, though, is, like, does he have it? Right? Like, he surprised everybody with how good he was early on, how ready he was early on. But does he have the it? Because there's got to be a lot of pressure on him to perform this season.
Well, he came behind a quarterback who, you know, understood how to sort of deal with the New York media, the patience, the leadership. You'd like to think that he learned from Eli, you know, sort of how to play the long game here and how to be a good teammate and have guys like you. So, you know, my hope, again, I'm not boots on the ground over there, but my hope is that his teammates like him and they like the way he competes, he treats people. They think he can be the guy. They just got to build a team around him. You know, in New York in particular, it seems like they win when the quarterback's not necessarily a superstar. They win when they have a good quarterback who's a great leader with an unbelievable defense, with a good offensive line, with that running game. I mean, that's a lot of times what those Giants teams were when Eli was winning Super Bowls. And my guess is they think they have a good quarterback that they now just need to build and have really good drafts and free agent moves to really put a good team behind Daniel Jones. Without a good offensive line, a quarterback, especially a young quarterback, he's going to struggle, and they need to get that line better. It's been a struggle since, you know, the O'Hara, Richie Soybert, Dave Deal, Chris Snead team, you know, those teams, McKenzie, since those guys have gone, it's been a real struggle in New York with that offensive line. And until they get that stuff right, I don't know how much of a chance Daniel Jones actually has.
I want to ask you about Justin Herbert. I mean, like, dude was rookie of the year, set all these marks, and so many people missed on him, right? And some of it's the Oregon thing, right? It's not just his offense. It's you go back and how many Oregon quarterbacks hadn't fulfilled outside of, you know, like Dan Fouts is like the last one that lived up and maybe exceeded the hype. But clearly he's got all of the skill set and has kind of a way about him that guys seem to be behind. But now it's the second year, and guys have a book on him. He hasn't played in a raucous road environment. And if you know anything about the Chargers, even their home games are raucous road environments. What do you think Herbert's going to look like this year?
I think he'll be better. I think he'll be even a better quarterback role. He'll be, you know, probably put himself in sort of that top 10 quarterback role. I think this guy is going to be a really good player for a long time. You know, the book on him coming out was interesting because he has all the physical attributes. He is big. He is really athletic. He seems to throw a nice ball. You know, he seems to be a pretty natural thrower. There's some things in his mechanics that I didn't love coming out. And also, when you watch the Oregon offense, it was so much sort of dink and dunk, or him running around and trying to make a play. And I was like, man, I don't really see him just sort of going through reads. It might be a hard progression for him to become a really good NFL quarterback. But I think he's a smart guy. I think he picked up their system extremely well. I think that you have a smart guy who can learn an offense, who's a pretty accurate thrower and a really good athlete. I think that's an NFL quarterback. And the question was, what type of guy is he? And I think that team has actually, obviously, sort of caught on to really liking this kid as a franchise quarterback. So I see him playing in the league for a long time. I see him winning a lot of games. I think it was a huge move for that Chargers organization. They needed a superstar, and I do think they're going to have maybe a superstar, but definitely a really good quarterback for a long time in Los Angeles.
Sage Rosenfeld is joining us. You and I watched the Big 12 a ton, and so I think we liked Baker. Like, I like Baker. People I know at Oklahoma always liked him, said, guys, the whole thing about quarterback, guys bought into him. That's it. You got to win that locker room. You got to win the coaching staff. The issues have been when they put him in position where he tries to win games by himself in the NFL. He's not that guy. He's not Watson, Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers sort of guy. They have an amazing roster. On paper, great roster. In the conversation of best rosters in the NFL. He's playing for a new contract. They're playing to try and get to a Super Bowl. How do you think this year comes together for Baker playing in Stefanski's offense year two?
Oh, that's a great question. You are right. People love Baker, and I think he's a magnetic player from a leader standpoint. I think people love his confidence, which sometimes can be borderline cockiness, but sometimes we appreciate that type of confidence. Sure. As football players, as athletes, right? I think he wants to be a great, great player. I think what he needs to understand is what is his role on this football team. All right, what is his role? Is it to be Pat Mahomes? It's not. All right, what is his role? And we saw she was with San Francisco a couple of years ago. You have just a pretty good quarterback with a great team around him, with a great defense, with a running game. You don't have to be a Superman to win a Super Bowl. And so for him to try to maybe figure out how to really it's like the ultimate veteran move. How am I going to win this football game? Do I have to do this, this, and this to win this game? And then you go play a great team, and you just know you're going to have to play great to win that game. Or you might play terrible because you have to take chances. You might throw four picks, but that's how we're going to win that game. I think what he's going to have to figure out is what does he have to do from week to week as an overall, as his own play, a part of this team. How are they going to win that week? And you love that confidence when you're down by 10 with 7 minutes left and you need to go give me a couple of drives. You love that confidence. But I think they're going to win a lot of football games where he doesn't have to be a superhero. But, again, that is Baker Mayfield. He likes having that sort of, superhero presence about him. Which is why a lot of players really like playing with him.
Awesome stuff, Sage. Let's catch up again really, really soon. We're at week zero in college football. It means that's kicking off. We're 2 weeks away from the NFL kicking off on a Thursday night. A great resource to have. Thanks so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, Doug. Thanks for having me on.
That's my guy, Sage Rosenfels, who did. He's right. When he was at Ohio State his senior year, that was the last time that they were good. They had a running back named Enos Haywood, who was a monster. Monster, monster, monster running back. Let's get to Ryan Music with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Ryan Music, what do you got?
Well, Doug, I'll tell you what I got. We got a little bit of NFL that we'll get into here, coming off of that great conversation between you and Sage Rosenfels. Aaron Rodgers had a, let's say, interesting offseason, but that seems like water under the bridge at this point in Green Bay, as he's now returned to the Packers and has been participating throughout training camp. But when asked about an article in Sports Illustrated about this being a championship or bust type season, Rodgers wouldn't say that, but he did say it's a championship or disappointment type of season, and did acknowledge that they have many free agents and potential cap issues facing them next season.
Look, they're all talking about taking the next step, and the next step is the Super Bowl. Obviously, Bakhtiari's injury last year set them back, but you had the ball, first and goal, a chance to take the lead and win the game. and you couldn't do it. Defense turned over the Tampa three times in the second half, and you couldn't do it. Did you dig yourself a hole in the first half? Yes, but you were right there in position. You know, I don't think anybody thinks the Bears are a championship team. Vikings don't appear to be a championship team. And the Lions are in rebuild mode. So in your division, you should win your division, get a home playoff game. They got home field advantage throughout last year. I don't think it's unreasonable to think like it is disappointing. I don't want to do the bust thing. I think that's dumb because that would mean that like Kansas City's season last year was a bust because they want to win a Super Bowl for a second straight year. Look, Kansas City went to a Super Bowl without their starting offensive line against a really good defensive front. Like nobody's winning. It's almost impossible to win that game, even with Pat Mahomes and even with their players. So I'm with Aaron Rodgers that within reason, not getting into a Super Bowl would be a disappointment, but we need context to play out.
And what if they go so far as the NFC Championship game again, and three straight years NFC Championship game, but no trip to the Super Bowl? Would you consider that a disappointment?
That depends. Did they have? Were they at home? Did they have all their guys healthy? You know, did
That's
they
fair.
Just not make play? Like, it all kind of depends. All depends.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up here with this, Doug. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers. What do Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Dak Prescott, and Kyler Murray all have in common?
Right-handed quarterback, strong arm, can run,
true,
can throw, rich.
All those things are true. Not only are they NFL quarterbacks as well, but they are NFL quarterbacks who won't be playing whatsoever during the preseason this year. Cliff Kingsbury did confirm earlier today Kyler Murray will not be playing in their final preseason game of the year. So add him to the list of star quarterbacks in the NFL who have now completely written off the preseason.
I like Kyler a lot. Obviously, he got hurt last year and was unable to be himself late in the year. And there's pressure on Cliff, but they went from 5 to 8 wins. It's a crazy difficult division. I don't love how their defense blends with their offense, but they did get better. He seemed to figure out something in year one to year two, and we'll see if they can continue to take another step. They're going to have to get to the 8-9 win yet again before people start to buy in. Remember, 17 games, but all these guys are going to sit out game. They're all going to sit out the preseason. It wasn't necessary. McVay's getting credit for it. But Belichick really was a guy who valued the dual practices more than the preseason games a long time ago. That's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I'm going to hit you with a list. With a list that you're going to hate, but I'm going to love. It's upcoming next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Discover matches all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. I saw this. This is kind of like trending on social media, which is, look, it's an inevitable list. And lots of things change. The great thing about sports is there is consistency, right? We know Labor Day weekend is usually kickoff to college football. That's why they're calling this the week before that week zero. And then the weekend after that is the NFL. So we're 2 weeks removed, 2 weeks away from Cowboys Buccaneers. But usually the fall also kicks off new TV shows. How we watch TV shows has changed, but still, there's nothing like I'm on a new series. I don't know how new it is, whatever, Tehran, which is on Apple Plus. I don't know. It's got a little Homeland sort of vibe to it for me. I liked Homeland as well. Anyway, so it had me thinking and got me to this best for last.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope, we grind to the very last segment. It's time for Best for Last.
Now, I was, I don't know, probably 9 months late on the Ted Lasso thing. I love Ted Lasso. Season two has been light and generally fun, whereas season one had a lot more heaviness. There was some heaviness there in the Christmas episode, but you can't put Ted Lasso a season and a half in on a run and say it's one of the great shows of all time. So what we tried to do was put together our own list of greatest shows of all time. Full disclosure, I've only watched one episode of Game of Thrones. Full disclosure, I've seen I've seen Sopranos, but I didn't watch every Soprano. I didn't. So it's not that it's not a great show. This is just, it's like I'm not going to tell you where Wilt Chamberlain or Jerry West or Bob Cousy rank on the all-time great basketball players when I wasn't alive when they were playing in their prime. Right? You got to be reasonable about it. Here's my reasonable top 10.
Number 10.
Cheers. I'm a big Cheers guy. Okay. We were a big Cheers family. It was Christy Alley and Shelley Long both played the female lead. Like the ability to endure a change in the female lead and still have a great show. Cheers. There were spinoffs from it that were amazing. Like Frasier. I'm going to go with Cheers at number 10.
Number 9.
Friends. Now look, is Friends funny? There's some funny moments. Is it hilarious? No. I would say like it's a show that will never, there's never going to be another one made like it. Like there's always cop shows. There's always hospital shows. There's always going to be dramas like that. There'll probably be another Cheers, you know, based bar or something else, or maybe something based on online dating or now because it's changed. But there'll never be a show of 20-somethings in New York living together on network TV. Like 20-somethings don't watch network TV, so why would that exist? I think that's part of what makes Friends so interesting. Friends is number 9.
Number 8.
Ozark. Love Ozark. Can't wait for the new season. It's tough at the top, so I'm going to put Ozark at 8.
Number 7.
Mad Men. I loved Mad Men. I love it from, it's a time period piece. It's mid-century modern. It is arcane. I'm a Mad Men guy. Sue me.
Number 6.
Mandalorian. You're like, what? Wait, you're contradicting your how many seasons? I get it. Okay, but Star Wars is arguably the greatest movie series of all time. And Mandalorian is the first and only, I believe, TV show that captures kind of a sub-story within the Star Wars story.
Number 5.
All in the Family. My dad used to watch All in the Family and fall asleep to it. Amazing show. Again, Jeffersons, a lot of spinoffs to it as well. Completely politically incorrect, but a tremendous show despite it.
Number 4.
I'm going to have Breaking Bad at number 4. I like Breaking Bad. I think it was outstanding. Is it the greatest show of all time? I'm going to hold off on that one.
Number 3.
The Wire. No, I'm not Jason Whitlock. Yes, I love The Wire. I just do. Couldn't get enough of it. Felt like it changed and found itself from season 2 to like season 4. And a lot of it doesn't stand up because people are like, what is that? What is a beeper? What is a pager? How does that make any sort of sense?
Number 2.
Simpsons. Still running strong. Still funny. I still can't wait to see what Bart's going to write on the whiteboard.
Number 1.
Seinfeld. Great show of all time. What's this show about? Nothing. Something. People. Funny stuff. Things that we all kind of can relate to. And things that we can't relate to. Like living in New York City is so different than any other place on Earth. Case in point, the nexus of the universe is where first meets first. That's my best for last. Jay Stu, would you like to get in any that I did not put on the list? That like, I cannot believe, Gottlieb, you missed this show.
I mean, I just can't believe that you have only watched a couple episodes of Sopranos, because your taste obviously is good. Yes. Sopranos, I mean, that tops my list. I know I'm not alone in that one. But yeah, you're pretty right on there. There was a list going around that this week where Prison Break was in a top nine. I'm thinking Prison Break, and it didn't have Mad Men, which I agree with you is one of the greatest ever.
Ryan Music, you're a little bit younger, a little different in variety. Like most of these shows you didn't even know existed. Give me something that I missed.
Well, I think one that I'm a huge fan of, which would be probably near the bottom of my top 10, but definitely on there, and you're a fan of, is Jack Ryan. I love the Jack Ryan TV series on Amazon.
It's really hard. It's really hard. You're like, oh, wait, that's a TV series, not a movie, right?
Totally.
I mean, part of it is I love Clancy.
I mean, the movies are also good, but.
Yes. Yes. Any others?
No, I would say you listed the rest of them. I would have Breaking Bad higher on mine. I think Breaking Bad would be number one, but I have
Breaking Bad's a great concept. I mean, a great concept and a really interesting movie, a really interesting show. I do like to laugh a bit more. Man City close to getting Ronaldo to join them. Huh. That's interesting. And we have more quarterbacks being named starting quarterbacks. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll get you ready for week 0. Maybe the Orioles will win again. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.